The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, let's try this. Okay. Merry Christmas. You know, that might be strange for some people because I think that, you know, the stores and the markets, they're past Christmas now. You know, it's only been a couple of days. But the 12 days of Christmas is not just a commercial thing, it's a church thing. We are right now in the season of Christmas. So that comes from Christmas Day all the way to Epiphany, which is on January 6th, when we celebrate the wise men coming to the Christ child. And so in these days of Christmas, we still remember the effects of the Christ child being born. That it wasn't just Jesus being born, but it was Jesus being born and then all that came after it. So that's what we are celebrating still here today as we light the Advent wreath, as we have our white pyramids, as we still have our decorations. Those continue as we celebrate Christmas. Speaking of some of our decorations, Cheryl Knuckles would like you to know that you can take a poinsettia today.
Or two.
Or two. And not can take, but must take a poinsettia or two before you leave today. They've lasted really well, and we hope that they will continue to brighten your homes. Another thing to note, if you did not get our 2025 Christmas ornament, for whatever reason, if you weren't here, if you didn't get one in time, the artist who made them said that he would do another batch just for those who did not get one for their household. So if you did not get one, please come and see me after service, and I will make sure that one is given to you. Doesn't matter if you were here or not, just letting you know. On January the 10th, Saturday, January the 10th, there will be a memorial service held for Mary Webb in this space here at Hebron, followed by a reception in Holman Hall. We hope that you will come and help to celebrate with the family and remember Mary and support her friends and family in this time. And of course, as always, following worship, join us for fellowship and refreshments in Holman Hall. That is all that I have. So let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Thank you, Marcus. Please rise. Join me in the call to worship, please. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light.
On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders.
And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Jesus Christ is our life and our light. In his name and his power, let us worship God.
The same Lord who has gathered us to worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only begotten Son to take our nature upon him and to be born of a virgin. Grant that we who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with you and that same Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Hear the words of the angel to Joseph. You should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Therefore, let us seek the forgiveness of God through Jesus our Savior. Let us confess our sins together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. All year long we pursue power and money, yet you come to us in weakness. All season long we covet great material gifts, when what you alone offer what is lasting. For the sake of Jesus Christ, who comes full of grace and truth, forgive us, heal us, and correct us. Then open our lips and remake our lives, that we may praise you with the whole creation and the witness of your redeeming love.
Amen. Almighty God, in his great mercy, gave Jesus Christ to die for us, and for Christ's sake forgives us all our sins. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would invite any children forward for our children's message. Forward is a relative term. Hey, friends. Oh my gosh, a whole fish. Good morning, friends. Today we're going to read this story called Jesus' Visitors. On the night Jesus was born, some shepherds were outside watching their sheep. An angel visited the shepherds. "Your king has come," the angel said. The shepherds hurried to Bethlehem. There they found Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, just as the angel had told them. "Hallelujah," sang the shepherds as they saw the baby.
praise God. Sometime later, three wise men spotted a new star in the sky, and they knew that the star meant Jesus had been born. They traveled to Bethlehem to worship the newborn king. When they found Jesus, they laid gifts at his feet. So what's really interesting about the story of Jesus and about those who came to visit him is that there were both shepherds and wise men. There were people who were rich and people who were poor. There were all sorts of people, and that no matter what, Jesus wanted them to come and see him so that even us here, even you two, even me, Jesus wants us to come and know him. Okay. Let's pray together. Let me see your prayer hands. This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God, thank you for showing us, that no matter what,
that no matter who we are,
Jesus wants to know us. In his name, We pray. Amen. Okay, you can go back to your seats now. Amen.
Nobody's ever brought a whole fish to a children's sermon before. That's a first. Let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, you have shined the light of redemption in the face of Jesus Christ. Grant that same light to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit to illumine your word, that we might receive again the good news of the Savior born for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter, starting in the 13th verse. So just a little bit of background. This is right after the Magi's visit. So we're sort of skipping ahead in the story a little bit if you're following chronologically. So the Magi have come to King Herod and have told him that they're looking for a king, and he says, well, there's not one here, so go and find him. But then make sure you come back and tell me where he is. And then the Magi go and they visit the Christ child in Bethlehem. And so coming off of that, we enter now into the story. Listen now to God's word. Now after they, the Magi, had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Christmas is over. It's time to clean up the wrapping paper, pack up the decorations, and get back to reality. I think this is the sentiment, like I said earlier, of many in our society. We've had our little escape in this holiday, our pie in the sky, joy to the world, peace on earth, goodwill to all. But now we have to put all that dream away and get back to the real world. Things are not so much joyous. Things are not so much peaceful here, so we've got to get back to reality. But as I've sought to say to you over these past weeks, the story of Christmas is not an escape from reality. It's not an escape from the world we live in, but a confrontation with it. A confrontation with the real troubles and anxieties and fears of the world and the people in it, both then and now. And this is no better illustrated than by Matthew's gospel and by our reading this morning. Straight from an abbreviated nativity story and a magi encounter, the gospel writer presents us with Jesus' infant flight to Egypt. The movement of the story is relatively straightforward if you read. Again, Joseph responds faithfully to God's instruction to take care of Mary and the child. This leads them to flee to Egypt as refugees until the time of Herod's death, and ultimately to Nazareth. And from this lowly country village of Nazareth, the Christ child will grow until he bursts onto the scene at the Jordan River and is baptized by John. All of this is to fulfill the prophetic word about Israel's Messiah and the new thing God is doing in the world. But the story is not as clean as this would have you think. For even as Joseph, Mary, and the Christ child respond to divine intervention and direction and are whisked away, it comes with terrible suffering and violence in its wake. Out of a mad rage at the Magi's cunning, Herod orders all the children in and around Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger, to be put to death. He could not risk any threat to his power, especially from a king of the Jews. But the mothers and children of Bethlehem, unaware of the political machinations that created their tragedy, suffer senseless violence, the murder of their children at the hand of powerful oppressors. The cry of Rachel weeping for her children is the asking of that continual, heart-wrenching question, why? Why this suffering? Why this violence? She refused to be consoled because they are no more. We can admit that this is a terrible, horrible story. Matthew will not let us escape from reality. But we must acknowledge that this is not merely a story of something that happened long ago, but that every day our world is filled with the same. For the children in and around Bethlehem have been dying for a long time now. So have the children in Ukraine and in Sudan, and in Nigeria, and in Australia, and in Rhode Island, and on our streets. Fill in the blank, it's not that hard. The Christmas story is not an escape from reality. Instead, it confronts us with the fact that the world is not as it should be. And it causes us to ask once again, why? Why this violence? Why this suffering? And the Christmas story is not just a confrontation, but it's also a reminder. It's a reminder that as Christians, we can never ignore evil. We can never turn a blind eye to human suffering. We can never pack it up, put it out of sight, even for a minute. But instead, we must stand up, resist, and say, this is not as it should be, and seek to make a change. Now, you may still insist that the birth of God's Messiah should stay firmly settled in a pretty twinkling story of sweetness and light. But you would be missing the full weight and glory of this story. Not only of the Christmas story, but of God's wider story that he's been telling from Genesis and will tell until Revelation. That this is a brutal world God came to save. It is a world that a holy God would have had every right to turn his back on. Yet this is the world that God so loved that he sent his only son. The mayhem and the evil that surrounded the birth of Christ is the same mayhem and evil Jesus came to fix. You see, God in Christ before the foundation of the world promised to save. And he knew that in human terms, it would not be easy. God knew it would never work for us to wait for us to get it together. God knew that he would have to come down and do this work himself. This story from Matthew, one scholar writes, is proof positive of both the long odds God faced and at the same time, the very reason the work had to be done by God's Son to begin with. You see, the story of Christmas confronts our broken and sinful reality because it says that even with all this, even with all our sin, even with all our suffering, even with all our violence, God did not give up on us, but moved heaven and earth to come down, to be with us, and to be for us, to be the light of the world. And even as the powers of this world of sin and death and hell rage against this light, it will not be overcome. Even though they rage against God's people, Christ's promise will never be undone. The sin of the world cannot threaten God's redemption. Our warring violence cannot scare God into submission. He will not recoil from this present evil age. For the God who fled to Egypt, the God who grew up in poor Nazareth, the God who was scorned by the very ones he came to save, the God who suffered the agony of the cross for your sins and mine, is the same God who has overcome the world, who has risen from the dead, and now gives gifts of grace and mercy all who believe. Friends, the hope of Christmas is that nothing can defeat God's promise of Christ for you. Nothing. No pain, no fear, no suffering can negate Christ for you. And even if we can't celebrate peace on earth yet, we can celebrate God with us and the grace and the mercy that he brings. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Amen. Responding to God's word, let us confess the faith which holds us fast using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
let us turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. O God with us, O incarnate one, O God who came to save, With the angels, we sing and glorify your name, thankful for all that we have, for all the gifts that you give, for your presence in the world, for our family and friends, for our community and its leaders, and for the witness of your church celebrating around the world. But today we are especially grateful for the gift of your Son, who gave up his heavenly home for a manger and for a cross, that we might receive redemption, a gift that neither spoils nor fades. With the angels, we also desire peace on earth, a peace that is broader and deeper than just an end to war. We pray for the restoration of this world, for your kingdom to come, for reconciliation, for healing, and for renewal. We bring before you our prayers, especially for the nations of the world, for Ukraine and Russia, as players are brought to the table and peace is made, for the nation of Nigeria as they grapple with violence and extremism in their land. Grant your healing presence and restoring power to be in these and all nations, so that if even for just a moment, there may be an end to our warring madness. We pray for our nation and all those in authority. Grant us wisdom to live and walk in our values and not by an agenda. Help us to stop perpetuating violence through our inaction, but instead treat all with the dignity that human beings deserve, that we may see everyone as those made in your image and likeness. We pray for this Gutschland community and those who work and watch and weep in it. Grant us strength to love our neighbor in this place. Grant us hope for a brighter future, and help us to work for the common good of all people in this place. We pray for your church universal, for all work of mission in the world, and for all those who minister. We pray especially this day for the church in Vietnam, that you would strengthen and renew it day by your Spirit and in the Word, that it may shine as a light to its nation and to the world the mighty power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray for all local congregations in our community and for their ministries, especially for this church which you have called Hebron. Help us to keep in step with the Spirit, that we could live as the true community that you are trying to build. That we would not only proclaim the gospel or believe the gospel, that we would also live it so that all may see the light of Christ shining forth. Begin with us. Begin with me. We pray for all those who suffer this day, O God, in body, mind, and spirit. Your healing presence and restoring balm, that they may know the hope that only you can give. Especially we lift to you those whom we name in the quiet of our hearts. make your incarnate presence known in each situation. And may we, as your servants, be vessels of your peace. Renew us in the promise that nothing in heaven or on earth can disrupt your plan of redemption. Nothing can scare you in submission. Nothing can silence you, but that you are redeeming all things in Christ. This we pray in the name of the one who became flesh and dwelt among us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. To us, the Christ child has been born. Come, let us adore him, not only with our praises, but with the gifts of our life and labors.
Thank you.
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all the gifts that you give, especially the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, in gratitude and faith, we give back just a portion of all you give to us as a sign of our commitment to you. Help us to steward these gifts wisely and use them for the building up of your kingdom, for the proclamation of the gospel, and the glory of your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, the hope of Christmas is that nothing in heaven or on earth, no fears, no pains, no sufferings, can negate the promise of Christ for you. And so in that hope, go from this place to love and serve the Lord. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always, forever. Amen.